Welcome to the D&D 360 podcast. Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the D&D 360 podcast. And for my returning guest, welcome back. D&D 360 is where we talk all about Dungeons & Dragons and its many editions from the past, present, and future, including third-party content and as well as other role-playing games. I'm your host, Terrell Shaw, and I'll be your guide through your journey this session. Welcome back, everyone, for the first podcast of the new year. 2022. I am your host, and I'm glad to be back. Last year was the beginning of my podcast, and I want to say that it's been an experience. I've learned a lot. I'm trying to improve, and hopefully this year it will be a very fruitful one. So I want to thank everybody who's here. And for newcomers, welcome. So, this podcast is a special one for me. Recently, one of my players passed away. Now, that's the first time, and hopefully the last time, that something like that happens. I didn't know how to handle it. It was very moving for me because I played with this player in person and online for quite some time. Many, many hours, hundreds of hours. Different players, different characters that he played, always unique, a special twist. It was always a joy to DM for him.
He was character driven in the sense that he liked to have these character concepts that he wanted to portray, that he saw potential in an aspect of either role play or in builds and powerful optimal builds. I actually think one of his most memorable characters that he played was a fighter, and he played a noble fighter who was scared of being in combat all the time, and he latched himself to one particular other member of the party, and he would role play his moves as ways of confronting that fear. This was in during one of the seasons, earlier seasons of Adventurers League, when I was DMing for him. It stands out definitely one of the most memorable characters, just because he wasn't putting himself on the front line, more of taking a support role. But it was in the terms of being a noble, allowing others to basically die for him. He would, be in the back, cowering, doing either long point attacks or ranged attacks, I should say. Or basically providing support. Very memorable character. The most recent character characters, I should say, were in two of my online games that I'm running. One of his characters was in my Midgard campaign, and the other one was in my it's based in the Forgotten Realms, but it is a homebrew campaign. He will be missed, and his absence will be felt in both games. It was hard. I had to, or I thought of maybe one of a creative way of sending his character off. It moved me as I was narrating his departure from the group. In the Midgard campaign, they were in a particular area where I had to get creative, where it was very difficult for me to have him just poof, disappear all of a sudden. You see, they were in the sewers under a vampire city, and they were resting for a bit after escaping a vampire laden castle. So it couldn't just make him disappear. So what I wanted to do, I got creative on, since he was a cleric, to have him to commune with his god, and have him being called away to attend a much more pressing issue. Probably wasn't the best. Certainly wasn't the worst, and it was something better than just moving on. I wanted to do something special. So I would say a tip for dungeon masters out there. For when you have a player who suddenly leaves the group for whatever reason, try to think of or narrate some sort of creative way of having the character leave the group. It is easier to just wave your hand and continue on, but I think it enriches the world that you're building when you creatively and narratively have that PC, that player character, depart the group. And players, if you have the chance and you plan on leaving the group for whatever reason, maybe get with the DM to possibly talk with them on your departure, set up some sort of either a montage or some sort of discussion or scene that you can play out on when the character is to depart, either voluntarily or involuntarily or whatever, as long as you have the capabilities of having the character exit. I would think the best narrative way of doing it is probably the best. With that being said, we will miss him. And again, his absence will be felt deeply. Godspeed, my friend. So in this segment, I want to talk about expectations. First, player expectations. Player expectations should be set in the beginning of the campaign or adventure, or what, or maybe a short one-shot or encounter that you're running. What it does is it sort of level sets the playing field, so no one is caught off guard, and everyone understands what's to be expected. Hopefully during this time is hopefully during session zero is the time when your DM is level setting and setting expectations for the player, such as what's expected of them, what they can expect from him or her, and what they are possibly looking forward to as far as what a campaign setting or what's entailed in the campaign setting. I do this in my games. In every game, I create a document, what I want to go over, the different points, the sort of pillars that I am going to be covering, what the synopsis is of the campaign, what could possibly be objectives. I even go over, you know, what's allowed, what's not allowed. And I have documents, you know, just so they would be able to refer to them at leisure. What I do is I set up, we run, at least online, we run Roll20 and Discord for voice, and I pin a bunch of linked documents in the campaign chat area, Discord server channel, so they'd be able to refer to them at their whim. What is, I try to also, you know, I don't think there is a right or wrong way to play D&D. I think there is definitely style of play. Are you more of a role player? And what can you expect from me? Or what can I, or what you can expect in the game as far as role play? Or are you optimist, a build person that is looking for optimization of combat? And I go over what you can expect from me on that front as well. The other thing is the explanation between realism and, a game. I think sometimes some of the player characters or players that I run into want to inject more realism into the game than necessary. This is a false way of going about it, because you don't want to make your game to be a reality sim that needs to pass all these check marks in order to be believable or to relate to it in a realistic way. Very hard to relate to something in a realistic way when you have magic and your imagination for two, which are the primary items in this fantasy game that we're playing. Interjecting realism, is definitely slow the game down, and two, it takes some of the spark of the fantasy portion away. Fantasy should be fantasy. It should be ideas of possibility, not things grounded in firm, rigid physics of the real world. And two, DM expectations. Tips for setting expectations for your players. I mentioned earlier, DMs should set expectations during session zero. Session zero, if people haven't, people don't know, is the session that you meet with your players before you start the campaign. Campaign session one would be the first session of the new campaign. Session zero is, well, typically sometimes you are creating your characters or you're explaining what the campaign is going to be about. And you describe the setting, etc., etc. You can also do this if you've, let's say, made some changes or you have some updates during the campaign or the adventure or whatnot. You can do this quite simply before the encounter start. So if they have an encounter with, let's say, a blue dragon, and they are about to either engage with it, or they have engaged with it but haven't started initiative yet, what they would do, what you could do, is sort of level set the encounter, explain to the players what your outcome is, right? If this is combat, straight combat, and it's just dice rolls and narrative speaking, or is it like a challenge? I had a very challenging, basically combat challenge, if you will, a couple weeks ago in another group of mine, where they had to fend off and go through this huge sort of campsite, or where you had a bunch of the enemies. Now, trying to sneak past this encampment of enemies was very difficult, so the DC was pretty high. So before that, I told my players what to expect. I said, this is going to be a challenge, so we're not going to be going into combat, and you're not going to be fighting a huge amount of enemies that will just overwhelm you. You will hit each encampment area. There will be a time limit, and then there will be other people that might become aware of your encounter, such as like roaming guardsmen or whatnot. So if they're taking a really long time in one encampment, the patrol that might come by will get alerted. I set that up to be X amount of rounds after they start. So they have X amount of rounds to kill their encampment or the camp that they were fighting in before the patrol people would be alerted to the noise, and they would come in. And then after that, X amount of rounds after that, the next closest encampment will be alerted to the patrol's fight, and then they would come. And there was, it was a big encampment. So I said at some point that, you know, at that point, after the second encampment would be triggered, it would pretty much be, everything would pretty much be frozen until they completed it. And that would be the quote unquote objective, is to at least get halfway through the encampment. And then after they rested, and again, this wasn't about trying to spend the resources. Their resources were being spent regardless, but I didn't want to. I wanted them to go through sort of like this gauntlet type encampment area, and I knew it was very difficult. And I knew they were down maybe one player too, so I did cut back and reduce the, not only the DC, but the encounters, the type of encounters that they would have. I wanted to do that because level set the whole entire sort of challenge. And I told them it was a challenge. So once they completed that, they continued on, sort of reset the clocks, and they were at it again. So that's one thing you can do during encounters. Other things is you can do to sort of level set or sort of telegraph what's happening is clues. You can include clues in your game where they would know, or at least you would hope they will get to see that what's coming forward, foreshadowing of what to expect, such as maybe there are acid burns on remains that they find, signaling something that killed him produces acid. Maybe there is a note left behind of a description of some feral creature that they have never seen before or are unfamiliar with. Things such as that nature you want to put out so your players won't be surprised, won't be caught off guard. Is that if that's not the type of style of play that they're used to. But I think it's good rule of thumb anyway to sort of telegraph your punches, if you will. You can even do setting your expectations for your players is sometime during the campaign you can have a magic item speaking maybe a prophecy or a person in the streets that has gone mad that speaks in riddles that the players interact with and get maybe some background information on things if they're very careful on listening. Most of my players, one particular group that I play with, they're sort of immune to background noise that may or may not work depending on where they are in the storyline. But before, they would ignore the random spewing of words coming from an NPC. Then you can always document your expectations or the upcoming sort of issues, encounters that they may have. Maybe found on a corpse or some scroll hidden away somewhere that they uncover. Things such as that nature, just to give them the indication that something's either about to come or something is definitely there and you want to watch out for it.
So, in wrapping up, I want to thank you all for joining me for another adventure, and I look forward to greeting you again soon. I want to send out a special thanks to Michael Gelfi and his music. You can find Michael Gelfi's music on YouTube at Michael Gelfi or at his Patreon over at patreon.com/ Michael Gelfi. That's spelled G-H-E-L-F-I. You can also find me on Twitter at DND360. That's DND360. Or send me an email at 360DND@gmail.com. This has been Terrell Shaw for the D&D 360 podcast, signing off.